Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to hear from you today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we'd like to begin with devotion, song, scripture, and prayer. I'd like to have a song by we'd like to have a song by Yolanda Adams. We'd like to have scripture by Dr. James Nooks. And that is Dr. Susie. I will begin us with prayer. So if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go. Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Oh,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our Bible text this evening is Acts 42 through 46. I'm going to read verses 38 through 47. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'll read Acts 2:38 through 47. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me, Dr. Nix?
I hear you fine, Dr. Susie.
We are excited this evening because this is the end of the month and it's the closure of our study about discipleship. So would you go with me in prayer as we begin the Bible study? Most holy and righteous one, we come before you as an empty pitcher before a full fountain, and we have come seeking your face to know how to grow as disciples. We desire to understand the spiritually dead, those who are spiritual babes, those who are spiritual infants, those who are spiritual children, those who are in the spiritual adulthood, young adult and adulthood. But we want to be disciplers for you. And we understand that in order to, that we have to be a spiritual parent. And Lord, we have studied these scriptures. We've come before you. Let us now walk in what we have learned and implement it so that we can further be of use as your disciples in Christ. Be with us tonight as we close, but do so in a way that empowers others that might hear to actively get involved in their personal growth and in the growth of others. We praise you tonight, and we thank you for allowing us to be vessels and to help build your kingdom. We ask this in your Son Jesus' name we pray, loving you always. Amen.
Amen.
So, tonight is the last night we have talked about this month, the phases of discipleship, the month of July. We've talked about what is a disciple, how do they grow, and we talked about the analogy of how we have to grow just like you grow in your personal life as a baby on up, as you know, to being a child and then being a young adult and on down to being a parent, how we have to grow. It's the same way in discipleship in Christ. We start off and we have to take it step by step, understanding that we are going to fall along the way, but it is the grace of God that holds us and keeps us as we manifest God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful mission and vision. So we want to talk about the fact that what is a disciple we've discussed and how they grow. We talked about the spiritually dead, how to be able to tell who they are. We've talked about being an infant in Christ, being a child, being a young adult. And tonight we want to talk about what it means to be a spiritual parent. What does it mean to be a spiritual parent? And I want to review a little bit of what we talked about last week. We talked about the spiritual adult has moved to the place where they are God-centered and other people-centered. They're not focused on themselves. Age was not a criteria. We knew that there were many spiritual young adults that were young and through their experiences, and many who were not, who were older, who were not spiritual young adults. But it's how we, it's our relationship that we have with Christ. And as we become more secure in that relationship, we're able to more overlook the faults of others, to be action-oriented and zealous, and to just get involved and make a difference, to understand that it's not just our personal benefit, but the benefit of the community in which we're serving. We build God's kingdom. And so we, you know, see that the phases, they think and say words like, I love my group, but there are others who need a group like this. We think about stuff that says, you know, if somebody's sick and their children are out, and, or that people are missing the group, they call to check on them, not because somebody made them, but because they're very intentional in making sure that they're a part in our devotion. If we come across something that we can share with someone else, it's not just about for ourselves. But they also see things that are missing, holes that are there that can be filled. And then they talk about it and bring it forward. What I'm trying to say is they are more centered on others in this ministry. And so we move from that to being the next step of spiritual parent, where we recreate the process, where we know as a parent. Now, I know, Dr. Nooks, you have several children. And so I know for you, it's important to be a spiritual parent. Can you share a little bit about what that looked like in your personal life, being a spiritual parent of children?
Well, you have to be patient with them, and you have to understand that you're not their friend. But you have to look and see what it is that they need in their growth and to try to help them in that growth. When they're younger, you help them more. As they grow older, you walk with them more, but you're still trying to help. You play a different role as they grow older, but it's always trying to do what is good and beneficial for them, to help them become responsible adults. And that's what we need to do as Christians, as Christian adults is to try to help those that we are working with and a part of to become better Christian adults so that they can also make disciples, so that they can be assured of their faith and understand better about what it is, who they are, and what they're doing.
Amen. I want to say good evening to Brother Brett. Glad to hear you, brother. Glad you're on the line tonight. We are talking about spiritual parents and how, you know, it's the last stage of the disciples' growth. Is that as a parent, you know, we have children and we want to be able to reproduce the process of making disciples. You know.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean we have to wait until, you know, we're fully mature before we can start making disciples. But it does mean that we need to be at a place of relationship with God where we can hear God clearly instruct us in that direction. So we know that before we can make other disciples, we have to be intentional about having a characteristics that is mature as a spiritual parent. So, you know, and as we go through this, you know, I've heard us say this many times before, and other people as well, you know, we have to be careful because I remember there was a bishop, I was trying to do a workshop, and there was a bishop who was an older person that had been in ministry for years, and we were having a summit. And I wanted to invite the seminary students, and he was like, I'm not coming to the table with seminary students. They're not equal to me. And I thought that that was a little, you know, that he felt that his worth was more than they were. And the reality is that wherever we are along the path of discipleship, we are valuable to the kingdom. Each of us brings gifts that are different. And we have to value those gifts because even though you may be in a spiritual leadership of a parent role, does not mean that you possess every gift that God has. And there are many younger people who, I mean, not young in age, but younger in maturity, who God is preparing and gifting to be able to move in those leadership roles, and we have to be instrumental in bringing their maturity and their expertise and their leadership to pass, because that's what God is tasking us to do, and that is to prepare the next group of disciples so that they can move forward as we have and begin to build kingdom. And, you know, and what's so sad about it is we forget that, you know, God uses us for who we are and where we've come from. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but it seems like God sends people back to the areas that they've come from. If you were in the hood, it may be that God sends you back to talk to people in the hood to be able to, you know, help them come out. If you were in a posh part of society, because I'm not saying one is better than the other. Don't get that. I'm just saying wherever you've come out of, God may prepare you and develop you and send you right back in there to minister to those same people. And it's interesting because Jesus did it. And, you know, we all heard, you know, nothing good comes from Nazareth, and folks did not want to receive him, you know, but it was something he had to do to minister to the people that he actually grew up around. And I wonder, maybe that does something for us when we can understand that, you know, even though people may not see us, you know, in a certain light, and, you know, and it keeps us humble, but that God has a purpose and a plan for us that we can hold on to and benefit from and trust God with. You know, no matter what people are saying, or no matter how people are acting, we can know because of our relationship with God. And so I think that's what we're looking at tonight when we're looking at the spiritual parent, and that they're to be able to reproduce.
Amen.
You know,
Dr. Susie.
Yes.
Yeah, just Brett. I think what you said about those of us that have been called going back to our communities, I think that is something that we, once we have been called to preach the word, I believe that we have to go back to the place that we know best, because we know what is needed in that area. And because we have tried as much as we can to overcome any negativity that we had living in that area, now that we know and we've been out here, we can go back in and we can let others see the light. Let them see the path that they need to be traveling. Let them see that you too can come out of this. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to live in the slum. You don't have to be in the ghetto. Okay? You can rise above that. And I think that when you were talking about that particular bishop, I don't know who it was, but I know there's a lot of pastors out here that think that way. And my thought has always been, if you think that way, then you're not giving the whole message to your congregation. So if you feel like somebody that is a student is not capable, or you don't need to be in their presence and stuff, then something's wrong with you. It's time for you to sit your whatever down and let somebody else that's going to lead, let them lead.
My Lord.
Amen. And Brother Brett, what I agree with you, but I'm not saying that you have to just, you have to pay attention to the call. And it's,
right.
Yeah, I agree with you in that you go back, but only when God sends you back. Because sometimes God can send
right.
you someplace else before he sends you back, so that you are prepared to do exactly what it is and willing to do exactly whatever it is that God tells you to. Because sometimes we're not
Amen.
Ready. You know, sometimes
there you go.
We're not ready. So we got to listen to what that call. But I agree exactly what you're saying about, we do know by living in that community, in that environment, what's needed. And I also think it's sometimes that the people there will hear us because they know us. But sometimes I think they won't hear us because they think they know us. You know, sometimes people want to put you in a box. They want to put you in
Amen.
A box, and they don't want you to be redeemed. They don't want you to be redeemed.
Amen.
They don't want you to be equal, to be, you know, God to forgive you. They want to keep you down and oppressed in the little box that they saw you in, so that they
sure.
can, you know, keep their finger on you. But
Amen.
Praise God that
that's
they aren't the ones that control our liberty.
There you go.
That's what they did.
But, you know,
that's what they did to Jesus.
Yeah, this is Brett. But
go ahead.
What I always try to do is remind people that the disciples that went with Jesus had other lives before they were called. The same thing is the way we that are ministers that have been called, we had other lives. So don't think that I'm trying to be more than what I'm trying to be. God has changed my life. But those people that knew me from a young age, when I was raised up in 25th Street Baptist Church here in Indianapolis, that my mother was a Sunday school teacher in, knew my background. The thing is that people that you marry, the family that don't know that about you, don't always take it that you are the one that's been called, because they know more than you. But yet and still, they're struggling while you're prospering. So therefore, what is God trying to tell you? If you remember one of the things I said, you can't do one of God's children wrong, because there's always a consequence to that. You can't come against me, talk about me, cuss me out, or do whatever you think you're big enough to do, and there's not something that's going to happen to you. God always takes care of that. I'm done.
Yeah. Dr. Nooks? Dr. Nooks, were you saying something?
I was just agreeing with some of the things that were being said, and I was saying, I was following up on what you were saying about sometimes people don't honor you in your hometown, don't want to hear what you have to say. And that's what they did with Jesus, and Jesus even said that a prophet is about honoring his hometown. So sometimes you can do some good in a hometown, sometimes they won't hear you. So I was agreeing with you that you have to go where the Spirit leads you and be in prayer as to where you go. But wherever you go, you need to be grow and always understand that all of us are in the process of growth. Paul said, I have not yet attained. So he was still reaching toward that mark of the prize of high calling. So we should never get to the point that we feel like we're better than anybody else, or that we should not be in the presence of somebody that we don't feel are at our level. That's one thing I really don't like, that phrase when I hear people, Christians, say, I'm at another level. And we try, and we do that sometimes in comparison to other people. God can raise us up in our understanding, and we can be at a better level, but it's not in comparison to other people to say that my level is
Amen.
Higher than your level.
Come on.
Amen.
In Philippians 2, it says we ought to elevate others above ourselves. So when we ever get to the point that we feel like we're too good, or we're too knowledgeable, or we're too holy to interact with other people, then we've gotten off the path. But that's not what Jesus has taught. That's not what
right.
we should be perceiving as our position, especially as adults in Christ, as far as discipleship. We're not better than anybody.
Amen.
Else.
And Dr. Nooks, I've heard a bishop say to me, just don't disagree with me in public. You agree with everything I say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on now. I mean, even on the Bible study, I welcome people to say and be different and think differently. And I have openly challenged and changed how I said something because of another perspective someone else had. Because that's the whole thing, is that iron sharpens iron. When we work together, talk together, pray together, and study together, we learn from one another. And none of us have arrived. None of us are Jesus Christ. And so we are all here on this journey trying to be obedient to God and to grow. And even sometimes there are things that we know. But guess what? As we're older, I don't know about you, Dr. Nix, but I forget stuff that I knew. And I have to be reminded or maybe get triggered with something that I knew, and I go, oh, okay, I got it now because I remember. But it's something that happens as I get older. I don't remember everything, all the words. I don't remember all the scriptures. Some people have that
Amen.
Gift.
Amen.
Now, I know Pastor Diggs, he can cite that scripture left, right, up, and down. That ain't my gift. But, you know, I can expound on it once I get the scripture. So, you know, we all have different gifts. And so we thank the Lord for that. But as a spiritual parent, our role is to continue to make other disciples. And in making disciples, we have to empower
Come
them,
on.
Putting them down, making them think that they're less than or not good enough. That is not how God sees his children. And we are to love
Amen.
One another in such a way that we empower them to walk in what God has gifted them with and what we've been training them to do. You know, I don't know how many times that there are people in the Bible study who teach classes, who lead other things and who have been empowered and, you know, I don't have to be here. The Bible study will go right on even if I don't show up. You know, people know how to operate, you know, and to me, the way I heard it years ago was a good leader is one that has equipped people and their organization to function without them.
Amen.
So it's important that people are able to carry on and make other disciples. So what do you all think is a characteristic, again, of a spiritual parent? What is a characteristic or some of the characteristics that come to mind that you think a spiritual parent has?
Well, Dr. Susie, I think the spiritual parent does not need to be focused on what is good for them personally, but on what is good for those that they are trying to work with. I think you said it, trying to lift other people up. So you can't be a parent. I mean, a physical, a good natural parent also does not put themselves over the needs of their children. And I'd say a good parent, because there are parents that do that, and the children suffer when you do that. A good parent needs to be one that is concerned about their children, and Christian parent needs to be one that's concerned about those that they're trying to disciple, and understand that they are important, and that their needs
are important.
Amen.
And to try to understand their needs. And those needs differ from person to person.
Yes. From child to child, it differs.
Yes.
Person to person, absolutely. And we got to understand, you know, some people will say, well, you're 17 years old now, you need to get out the house. And I think it depends. It depends on the child. On when they're ready, and you know, so I think, you know, we just got through talking about a young adult, and when a person becomes a young adult, we don't just walk away from them and say, you know, I'm done talking to you, teaching you, helping you, praying with you, guiding you. No, now it may be different in that the advice is not given until it's asked for.
Amen.
Or help. But and they're encouraged to walk on their own. They are encouraged to walk on their own. But we don't just walk off and leave them.
No.
We don't do it when there are human, just regular children. So we shouldn't be doing it as a spiritual parent either. So, okay, so I've heard you guys say a spiritual parent reproduces disciples. And what else do we know about spiritual parents?
This is Britt. By me being raised by a spiritual parent, the parent has to be not only a believer, but also a witness. And by that, you can talk about the Bible. But my mother was a Sunday school teacher, so she taught the Bible, and she knew the Bible. I think she knew it better than my dad did. My dad was a minister. Thing is, when you have a spiritual parent that is raising a child, when that child gets to a certain age, and that parent knows that they have done everything they can to bring that child along to where that child would be able to take care of themselves out here in the world, then they don't worry about it. My mother never worried about me because I had good characteristics. When I got a job, I brought my paycheck home. I took out $10 for bus fare. This was back in the 60s. Bus fare was only, 10 cents, something like that. But the thing is, I didn't need the money. And I give it to her, and I say, here, Mom, this is for you to do whatever you need. Simply because my mom and dad provided a home for me. They fed me. Everything that I needed, they provided. It wasn't that I got everything I wanted, but they provided everything I needed to sustain life. And they instilled in me a trustfulness. I didn't lie to my parents. I always told them the truth. And other people in the community knew, you ask me something, I'm going to tell you the truth about it. But they also know I had a love for God, too. And I think
absolutely
when you have a parent that is built like that, then that's on the spiritual side, but then on the cardinal side, they have the same trust in you because they have instilled in you what it takes to be a grown person. They have instilled in you what you need to be doing in order to make it in this world. The people that don't trust their kids, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doctor.
I was just thinking as Brett was talking there about spiritual parents have times when they need to rely on other spiritual parents. I think our listeners ought to understand that all of us, no matter how many disciples we make, have times in our lives where we need to be parented or helped along our journey. And this goes to the fact that we're always attaining and growing. So a spiritual parent needs to be there for people that find times in their lives when they need somebody to talk to, somebody to rely on. And then also as spiritual parents, we need to be able to have somebody that we can talk to and rely upon. Because none of us, you know, can make it by ourselves. You know, we need each other. We need our help. We need each other's help. So a spiritual parent needs to understand that they need help sometimes also, and that they need to be there to help somebody who is maybe a spiritual parent also. So we need to help each other.
And that's what needs to be clarified. When you are a discipler, you are a spiritual parent. When you are a discipler, that means that when you have a child, an infant, a child, or a young adult, you don't just walk off and leave them. You're walking with them, else you are not considered to be a spiritual parent. If you don't understand the road of being a discipler, you're not a spiritual parent yet, because it's when you get to the spiritual parent phase, that's when you're able to duplicate the process of being intentional about building relationships so that discipleship can happen. Being able to reproduce the process that you learned as a disciple, able to feed yourself spiritually on God's word, to work with a team of other disciples, acknowledging that they don't possess all that a disciple needs to be well-rounded. But like you said, Dr. Nooks, they'll work in conjunction with other people to get what's needed. And that they value team, not that they have to be the one up front all the time, but they understand that it takes the church to complete the mission, and that they're part of the body, and as part of the body, we're a powerful source as a team. So I think that's really important, and that's one of the things we're looking at. We need to understand that an infant is ignorant at times; they don't know the word. That a child is characterized by selfishness. So that we know what those children need and we provide what they need so that they can grow. And then we know at the young adult stage that those people want to be in service. They want to change and to grow. And then ultimately they become intentional about making other disciples. And that's where we are when we talk about being a spiritual parent. We're being intentional about making other disciples. So will somebody read Hebrews 3:12-13 or the full context? Hebrews 3:12-13, or you may want to read a little more than that.
Okay, I've got Hebrews 3:12-13. Let's see here. I will start at the 7th verse then, maybe. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. For your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's Hebrews 3:7-14.
Awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord. Awesome. So what is it? How does that speak to you? That's next in the area of discipleship, being a spiritual parent.
Well, it's focusing on 12 and 13. It says that we should not be angry, and we should not stay angry with the brethren. We should not have evilness in our hearts and unbelief departing from the living God. I like that, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So in other words, we need to be in a position where we can share with each other where we have need. And this is a tough one because a lot of people don't trust each other. They don't trust other people.
Well,
we don't have relationships in such a way that we can even talk to each other. Somebody comes to me telling me something about myself, and I don't even know who they are, and don't have a relationship with them. You know, I don't know if I'm going to believe what they say, because I'm going to think, well, you don't know me. So it's important for us to form relationships and get to know each other, and through prayer, I think have a degree of trust in one another, so we can at least hear. And also to not feel afraid to share with somebody because you feel like there might be retribution. You know, I see something and somebody sees something in me and they don't feel like they can share with me because they might get attacked by me, you know. So they don't. So we walk around in our own bubbles, not willing to be able to share with each other so that we can grow.
Come on.
And that hurts the church, and it has hurt the church. But we need to see, if you don't love people and your intent is not to help, and people sense that, they don't want to hear from you. I mean, so we have to foster a position of love so that people will at least hear us and trust us enough to hear us. And this is a really tough one to do.
Well, let me read this from the message. It says, I'm going to start at the first verse. It says, so my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Moses was also faithful, but Jesus gets far more honor. A builder is more valuable than a building any day. Every house has a builder, but the builder behind them all is God. Moses did a good job in God's house, but it was all servant work, getting things ready for what was to come. Christ, as Son, is in charge of the house. Now, if we can only keep a firm grip on this bold confidence, we're the house. That's why the Holy Spirit says today, please listen, don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, the time of wilderness testing. Even though they watched me at work for 40 years, your ancestors refused to let me do it my way. Over and over they tried my patience, and I was provoked, oh so provoked, I said, they'll never keep their minds on God. They refused to walk down my road. Exasperated, I vowed they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. So watch your steps, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. If we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul.
Amen.
Amen. So for me, it's really interesting how he talks about the idea of, from the beginning, how Christ has to be the centerpiece of everything, of everything, and that, you know, we get it twisted that God is the one in control, and yes, Moses did some good work, but Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is in charge. And then to understand that it says, and I was provoked. And God was provoked by the fact that we weren't obedient a whole lot. There was unbelief in our lives that threw us off course. But praise God that God didn't give up on us, and God is standing there to reel us back
Amen.
In so that we would be faithful and get what we're supposed to have and be. Yeah, praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
So, as we look at the
I was going to say in that text, it also, God is trying to tell people to listen to the Spirit, and we really need to do that also and pray. And I think this causes us a lot of problems as far as our relationships with each other and being able to help one another as far as holding each other accountable and things like that, because we don't really listen to the Spirit. Instead, we listen to our own intellect and our own reason instead of relying on God's reason and God's word. And it makes it
Amen.
Difficult for us to follow God's word and to be the people that God would have us to be when we won't even listen to for the Spirit and listen to what the Spirit is saying. I mean, it's hard. In many, many meetings at churches, we don't, when we have church meeting, it's like we want to put God out of the church meeting, and then we want to totally rely on our own reasoning. And God should never be out of the church meeting or anything that happens in the church or anything that happens in the life of a believer. So we need to continually strive and ask God to help us to hear from the Spirit. We need to ask God for help in all the areas that we find we have some weakness in our lives. And this is hard for us to do also, but when we find that we're stubborn, God help me with my stubbornness. When we find that we're angry all the time, God help me with my anger. When we find we're not listening to the Spirit, God help me to hear your word, hear your Spirit, so that I can be better prepared to serve and to stand for you. So as
and
Dustin,
I don't know what it takes to get to, I don't know what it takes to get there, because people don't have the ability, I don't think, on their own to be able to do that, to ask for help, or, well, not even to ask for help, but to get the place where they're able to examine themselves and
yeah.
see that they have a need. And that's the struggle,
yeah.
is being able to even examine, because so many people don't realize that they need help. They need help in seeing life another way. And everybody perceives that they've arrived. You know, nobody's at the place of student and where we learn from one another. It's that folks have to be the leaders, and they have to be the one with all the knowledge. And I think if we have that mentality, then we're never going to be successful, because we're going to always miss out, because we're only operating on that which we know. and we're not open to the suggestions and the help and the advice of others.
My Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I agree. I agree with you. Ms. Chubb.
Dr. Susie, Breath. We have, over the years of our Bible study, have talked about why it took so long once Moses led the children out of Egypt, why it took them 40 years to get to the promised land. The thing is, right here, it tells us in more detail about the rebellion of those people. It also talks about how they tested and tried him. That's why God led them on that long journey. Even though if you look on a map today, you'll see it's not that far. The thing
Amen.
Is, those old generations had to die off. And the new generations are the ones that came into the promised land. And we're doing the same thing today. If you think about it, I think. Go ahead.
Amen. And related to what you're saying, I think they had to get the Egypt out of the people so that they can move
Amen.
Into the promised land. Sometimes we won't let go of that old stuff. Amen. Well, we won't let go of that old stuff so that we can move into the future.
Right.
We holding on to it. And we got old past hurts, old past sins, old past, you know, we don't want to acknowledge that we've fallen short, and so we can walk into the favor that God has
Amen.
Given us, and we holding on to something that happened a long time ago. We holding on to people that was way back there when, and those same people are not able
Amen.
To empower us or things to go where God is trying to take us. And so God has
Amen.
To take and unpry our hands so that we can move forward in what it is that God
Amen.
Has for us. Yeah. I
you
agree,
know
Brother Brett.
I was gonna say I think what that was is God's way of purging us. And if you think about it, you and I had talked about this way back about the decline of church attendance. One of the things that I see with this, and it just was given to me, is that if you take the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now we're into 2000, that's 40 years. And look at the mess that we got. And this is time for another purging, another cleansing. The thing is, the reason why we are dealing with what we're dealing with in Washington, D.C., and the rest of the world, it's because God is trying to get everybody to come back to Him. Those of us that heed His warning and do what He wants us to do, we're going to be good. Those that are out here, those are the ones that are getting. Every day you hear about somebody shooting somebody. You wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, newsflash: such and such was killed on such and such a street this morning. See, God has a way of letting people that don't want to do His will, be obedient to Him, something's going to happen to them. And we got people out here killing other people. I believe that's a purge that's going down, but now people are trying to pray more, and they're trying to get into the church more. And I think this is what God wants us to do. He wants everybody to get back to the basics. Once we get back to the basics, I think that will show us here as a nation what God's will is. Now, I might be wrong about it, but that is what I believe.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's next. Do you have anything you wanted to say?
I didn't have anything to add to that particular situation
okay.
right there.
Well, as we go forward tonight, I just wanted it to be clear that we understood the role of the spiritual parents and how important it was for them to be about understanding that their major role is to reproduce the process. You know, because if God did not have the spiritual parents, there would be no continuing of God's word, because there wouldn't be any people to share it. So that's exactly why it's so crucial that we continue the discipleship process. So,
amen.
I want to repeat this as we close. It's now 7:57, but the whole thing is that from week one, according to Matthew 28:19-20, the Lord wanted us to make disciples, and that's really foundational for us, is that we make disciples. And as we make disciples, we become an intentional leader, and we create a relational environment, and we have a reproducible process. Acts 2:42, which Dr. Nooks read, says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know, Dr. Nooks and Brother Brett, you know, people don't really give a dadgum about Bible study. So you developing yourself, devoting yourself to teaching? Really? Teaching what? What's that show on TV with the Empire? You know, teaching how to do the music industry? This is talking about teaching God's word. And fellowship is what helps the koinonia of building us and bringing us together. And it's assembling ourselves together with love. And then eating together, because people who eat together are in covenant. They're in covenant to build relationships, to love one another, and to try to make things better. And then to prayer, not prayer just for self, but prayer for others. And all of this is what happened, and everyone had everything in common, so that everybody had need. And that is the praise.
Amen.
That is the praise, is that we work together with a purpose, intentionally, to make sure that everyone in our relational value environment has their needs met. Wouldn't it be awesome if we went to a church where they said, what are your needs? And they met your needs. They helped you meet your needs. They walked with you to talk about meeting your needs.
Come on.
They became so connected and a part of you that they helped you meet your needs. My goodness. You know, not just, I mean, you know, I'm out here in Maine, and one of the things I've discovered is that they will tell you in a minute they are non-religious. They do not have a religious affiliation or want one. And this whole area has very few people who are religious or spiritual even. And so, like you were saying, Brother Brad, things have changed. And we don't have this, as many disciples out here. And so as a result, we got generations of people who don't know the Lord. And so we are going to be held accountable, because God will put things before us, and it's our task to say, yes, Lord, and do it. To say, yes,
Amen.
Lord, and do it. And so as a disciple,
Amen.
As a parent, we have to be intentional about passing God's word forward by building his kingdom, by raising up our children, those who are converting those who were spiritually dead to being God's children, moving them from being a child, an infant to a child, moving them from being a child to a young adult, and from a young adult to a parent. We have to be a part of
Amen.
The process and to propagate it. So as we go forward, I'd like everybody, if you will, to just share one thing through this Bible study that we've learned about discipleship, not just today, but in general, that would be a good take-home or a good reminder for our community, our audience.
Well, this is James.
Okay.
We need to understand that we are all in the process of growing. We are all being discipled, and we all are here to help one another, and that we should be looking out for the good of others and not put ourselves above other people. And in all of this, we should love people so that we can share and help each other, because if we don't act in a trustworthy way and in a loving way, then people may not even accept our leadership or our parenting. And therefore, it makes it difficult for the church to grow when we are in isolation. And we are in isolation when we put ourselves above other people and when we don't love people as we should. So seek help from God in all that we do, and try to look at ourselves every now and then so we can grow.
Amen. And I would say to Dr. Nick that if we can't love other people, we're not Christians, because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's how they know we're Christians, is how we love one another. So if we can't do that fundamental thing, then we're not quite Christians yet. We're spiritually dead.
Amen.
So, Brother Brent, what did you say?
I just take it back to what we talked about tonight. The thing is that we have to understand, in the Christian community, God is here for us. He will supply all your needs. All you got to do is have faith. All you got to do is come to Him. And remember that He is the Spirit. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't play with God. Because once you give your life to God, God will see to it that you are delivered from everything that you need to be delivered from. He's just that way. He keeps His word. And I pray that anybody that's listening tonight, if you've been on the fence post and you wish to know more about Christ, tonight is the night that could be your night where you change your life forever. It's a good journey, believe me. He's not going to leave you.
Amen. And with that, I share that the word said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Amen.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So for those of you who have heard us with this Bible study, not only this week but tonight, we're asking if you have such a desire in your heart that you want to come and accept Christ as your personal Savior, that you recognize that you are spiritually dead and that the Holy Spirit is quickening you, is knocking on the door of your heart, is asking you to submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel that in your heart, I'm just asking you that you would pray with me. Oh God, Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I want to confess you as my Lord and Savior, and that I believe that you died and rose for my sins, that you sit on the right hand of the Father, and that I can live and rise with you on that judgment, on that eternal day, and that there will be a judgment. Oh, yeah, there'll be a judgment.
Yes.
But we will walk in the love of Christ to our brothers and sisters, and that we will come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So if you believe that tonight, if you know who God is in your heart, if you've accepted Him, if you have prayed the prayer that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you are saved. And we celebrate with you tonight and ask that you join a church, that you get involved in some place of teaching that can lead God and direct you to be a disciple, and that you can follow being a discipler, a disciple, until you are able to disciple and can do the same thing and reproduce the process. We praise God for you,
Amen.
God, those of you who are calling. We thank God because we know and receive that God is touching the hearts of people all over the world. And we know that If you're there, God has heard your prayers. And we claim that you belong to the Lord now, that you're part of God's family. So as we go forth, remember Jesus is saying to you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And it says we have to remember to teach them to obey everything that the Lord has commanded us. Because why? He says that he is with us always, always, even to the ends of the earth. God's blessing to be with you. See you next week.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.